And welcome to the Climate Minute, your source of insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre. So it turns out that in Massachusetts in 2014, the state legislature recognized that leaking natural gas pipes, of course, natural gas and methane are the same thing, leaking pipes were bad, both from a safety and a cost and a climate perspective. And they determined to help the utilities repair those underground gas pipelines. So that's the thing out in front of your house, comes into your basement, right? Those gas pipelines leak, and the state wanted to help the utilities repair those leaks, fix those leaks. They set up a program called the Gas System Enhancement Program, which essentially paid the utilities for fixing those leaks. So here we are years later. This well-intentioned program is not succeeding in what it set out to do. Fine. In November or earlier this fall, there was an important, incisive report that came out. It was produced by a group called Gas Leaks Allies. It was called GSEP, GSEP being the Global Gas Systems Enhancement Program, GSEP, GSEP at the six-year mark. And it critiqued the whole program and said, hey, this program's not doing what we wanted it to do. And there you go. So one of the things about the Gas System Enhancement Program, which is what the state of Massachusetts is essentially giving money to the utilities to do the right thing and address gas leaks, right? But it's very confusing. And one of the concepts is that, in my opinion, the payments made to the utilities, the people who supply you gas, very confusing. It all boils down to one number that you write a check for. But in that one number of your monthly payment, there's a lot of little detail charges, kind of like your cell phone bill with all these crazy little charges on top of it. It's important to understand that because that's kind of the decoder ring to understand what the utilities are about, what they're doing. So because we don't know much about that, we thought we would talk to an expert, the person who wrote the report. So we're happy to have with us Dori Seavey, who is an applied research economist who's based in Boston. And her current work focuses on the complex systems change, addressing the urgency of the climate. She specializes in targeted analysis around data and research. Of course, Dori Seavey has a PhD in economics from Yale and has studied at the London School of Economics. So she knows her stuff. Dori, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Ted. It's my pleasure to be here.
Great. So I tried to give a little bit of a story about the Gas System Enhancement Program and how it's transferring money over to the utilities. And of course, where does that money come from? That money doesn't come from state tax or anything. It comes from your monthly payment that you make to the utilities. And that, so tell me the story. Why is it important for people to, why are we talking about your monthly gas statement as something that people ought to scrutinize a little bit and understand what's going on?
Well, that's such an important question, Ted. And one of the things I set out to do in my project was to really understand how GSEP works, the Gas System Enhancement Program, and how that translates into the role of the ratepayers, that's you and I, the gas customers, in terms of our billing. And so it's important to understand that GSEP is not a program that's funded by the state legislature. It's nothing like that. It's a program that, on a statutory basis, allows for accelerated cost recovery for the replacement of natural gas pipeline in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts by the companies that choose to participate in this program. And in the Commonwealth, there are six investor-owned, for-profit gas companies that do participate in the GSEP program. And then in addition, there are four municipally owned companies that also provide gas distribution services, but they're not participating in the program. So it's about accelerated cost recovery. So a gas company today will know what their inventory of pipes is. They're going to know when they were installed, what material they're made out of, and they're going to know something about the leak history of that specific mile of pipe, if you will, but also about the material that it's made of. So, for example, cast iron, unprotected steel, certain types of plastic are known to be leak prone.
Forgive me for interrupting, just saying that, just to restate what you've said, is that the gas company, which is now for a lot of people Eversource, right, to just put a name with a face there, Eversource knows the history of the gas line that runs in front of your house, right? Mm-hmm. Wherever you live, they know when it was put in, what kind of material it was made out of, and the implications of a certain kind of material for the pipeline that comes into your house. I mean, they've got all that stored away in a closet somewhere, right?
Yeah, and there's also machines, they're monitoring machines that people can walk down the street with and detect leaks. And there's also people, consumers, who walk outside their homes and smell natural gas too. So those are other, you know, ways that we know about the status of the pipes.
Okay. And so given that they know that, what are they doing with that information? What's again, just Eversource does, what would they do with that?
Well, leaks get, if a leak is detected, then the effort is made to understand what type of leak it is. Is it a really serious leak with explosion hazards, with severe safety hazards? Is it a very small leak that doesn't amount to much? Or is it a leak that's putting out a lot of methane, but it's not in a populated area? And so it's not good for the environment, but it's not like it's going to cause some houses to blow up. So there's a leak classification system, and there are regulations that tell the companies which leaks need to be prioritized and what's the time period within which they need to be addressed. But anyway, the GSIP program doesn't pay the companies to replace the pipes, but all of the gas system's costs, whether it's supplying gas or fixing your meter or repairing pipe or replacing pipe, 100% of the costs are paid for by the ratepayer, which means the consumer. Consumers also pay for the cost of the gas that leaks out of the system. So what GSIP does is accelerate the rate at which companies can retrieve the capital investment costs that they incur when they replace gas pipe mains or services. And it also accelerates cost recovery for repairing certain types of leaks that are really bad for the environment.
And just to put it in my dumbed down language, an accelerated cost recovery means you get paid in advance. The utility gets paid up front to go and do this stuff, right?
It's not 100% up front, but it's more up front than they would get if they weren't using GSIP. But you're absolutely right. At the end of the day, this is all paid for by consumers. And so those costs trickle down into your bill. So when you get your bill at the end of the month, it's always divided into two sets of charges. And try and find these on your bill, the supplier charge and the distribution charge. So the supply charge has to do with actually the cost of Eversource or National Grid Boston purchasing the natural gas from a supplier and getting it to Massachusetts. And the distribution cost has to do with everything else. So it has to do with maintaining the pipes that, you know, run from the transmission point, the supply point down into various sorts of stations and meters and gates all the way to your home eventually.
Dori, for the listener, I am going to include a link that goes to the now defunct Columbia Gas, Massachusetts, with a little 2-minute video that explains where to find this stuff on your bill. Right.
Okay.
It has big arrows that point to where the detailed charges are on the second page. And it's basically, and even though I think Columbia Gas has gone away to Eversource, the structure of the bill is pretty much the same. You can find, and on the second page, there's a box that's got the detailed charges. That's what you're talking about. Supply charges versus delivery charges, right?
That's right.
Interesting.
Delivery. Yeah. And the delivery charges are in turn made up of a whole bunch of different, a set of different line items, and GSEP is one of them, but you won't see that itemized on your bill. It's you have to go deep into regulatory hearing files to find the actual charges that have been allowed for each company in terms of those delivery charges. Now, the typical Massachusetts heating bill for natural gas, the delivery charges are usually twice as much as the supply charges. They're a significant amount, and it's nothing to sneeze at. Now, there is sort of a cap on the cost of GSEP each year so the companies have to go before the regulatory agency, which is called the Department of Public Utilities, and DPU is part of the executive branch of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. It's a quasi-public authority, but you have to go before the DPU each year, and they ask, they present the total cost that they want to pass on to ratepayers over the course of the next year, and that has to be authorized, and that amount is capped at no more than basically 3% of last year's total revenues for the gas company. So if GSEP costs, spiked up 50 times, it's not the case that you could necessarily pass all those costs on to the consumer. So there is a cap, but there's a lot of pressure, cost pressures that are resulting in the cost of GSEP going up and up and up and up. And one of the things I show in my report is huge increases in unit costs for particularly the three largest gas companies, and pressure on the DPU to permit higher rates of return and faster cost acceleration, cost recovery, if you will.
A quick question. You mean on the bill so I have my bill in front of me, I'm looking at it, and everything you say is true. I mean, one thing to point out is that these funky little charges, so on my bill, it's called there's a distribution charge and a distribution adjustment charge and a decoupling adjustment, I mean, all these weird words. Mm-hmm. Hidden underneath that is the GSEP plus probably other programs, right? I mean, all of that, I mean, there's a whole bunch of things that are now attached. So the GSEP probably is not, if you look at your bill, it's not as if every penny of that line item goes to GSEP. It probably goes to five other, like Mass Save, right? Some of the money goes to all kinds of other programs, right?
Yeah.
And just one other comment, which I just blows my mind in looking at it, the actual gas that you use in a given month is about 1/3 of the charges.
Right.
So you as a ratepayer are paying 2/3 of that bill just goes, it's almost like the interest on your mortgage, right? It's just going to the infrastructure that supports the pipelines,
which is
a stunning thing, I think.
I really like the way you just put that. And what's important now is once you kind of understand more about your bill, to also understand the bigger context, which is the GSEP is set up to basically, over the next few decades, replace huge amounts of natural gas pipe in our system to the tune of between, I estimate, $22 and $31 billion. So these costs are paid back over time through increments on the customer bill, but it's a massive infrastructure program in the Commonwealth. And one of my biggest concerns is that there's very little public scrutiny or oversight of this program. In other words, the regulatory agency, the Department of Public Utilities, administers this program one company at a time. There's sort of no one adding up the big picture. And we're in a very dynamic, fast-changing time where the cost of electricity relative to natural gas is getting cheaper. And we know we're going to have to move away from fossil fuels, and we're going to need to transition towards a low carbon economy. And so there's the prospect of consumers, gas customers, leaving the gas system because they put solar panels on, because they put heat pumps to supply warmth in their homes. They go buy an electric dryer and get rid of the gas one, or they put in an induction electric stove and take out the gas stove. And as these changes happen, which they're going to have to happen in order to do the right thing as citizens, and also in order for the Commonwealth to achieve our net zero goals, then the gas customer rate base is going to shrink. There are going to be fewer people who are there paying the cost for the infrastructure investment that you just spoke about. So there's all these really huge dynamic issues that we really have to confront and deal with. And certainly a first step is for the executive branch to get a grip on this program and to give it the holistic attention and analysis and scrutiny that it warrants.
Wow. Well, Dory, I think we have to put it down there. It's a fascinating discussion about connecting the number on your monthly statement from Eversource up to these very big issues that talk about climate change and what the governor ought to be doing, whoever she turns out to be, right? This is one way for everyday people to sort of get their arms around what's happening. And I guess I would just close by saying that if you're going to pay 2/3 of your gas bill for the infrastructure, I want that infrastructure to be headed in a green direction, right? I mean, that's just one way to summarize. If you're going to pay that much money, let's pay it not to perpetuate this old system. So, Dory, what I'll do is I will put up links to the GSEP of the 6-year mark report, which you have authored, and it's a fantastic report. I recommend anyone try and take a look at it. We'll put up links to other interesting things like the how to find the detailed charges on your gas bill, whatnot. And that'll be all on a blog with the hot links at massclimateaction.org/blog. That's where we'll put it. If you have a question about this podcast, please send us an email to podcast@massclimateaction.net. Let us know what's good and bad and the topics that we ought to be covering. You're probably listening to this on your smartphone using Stitcher or Spotify or Google Podcasts or any of them, all of those crazy things. Please ask all of your friends to listen to us on their favorite modern podcast distribution app, because we're hiding there somewhere. I want to thank our good friend D.R. Tucker for his continuing research support. I want to close where we always close, by saying that we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, that we accept responsibility for building a durable future, and that we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out. And because of that, we have to insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investments, and even a price on carbon that respects environmental justice communities. So, Dory, thank you so much for coming and explaining about our bills. It was great.
Thank you very much, Ted.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.